My name is Kyle Harmon. I'm an interim associate pastor here, and it's my pleasure to speak with you this morning. Usually I'm standing right here and playing a guitar, and like I say a few things and a couple things, but now I get to stand in the middle, which feels like kind of weird for me. So if it's weird for you, don't worry. It's weird for me too. Last week was our very first Discipleship Sunday. And can we get a hand for that? That was awesome, right? That was awesome. Like, there were people of every age, demographic, you know, sharing their history and their with prayer and what they've experienced with the Holy Spirit in prayer. And if you didn't get a chance to see that, please go back and watch that, because it was a really special Sunday. But you may not have noticed, with all of that going on, we actually started a new sermon series, and that's called Practicing the Way. And I love this idea of practicing the way of Jesus, because I think that as a Christian kind of culture, we can get in trouble. We can get a little consumed with the knowledge of God, right? The knowledge of God is what we are kind of looking for as a church sometimes. And not just us, but like the church in general. But we just want to know more about God. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but knowing more about God is not knowing God, right? And we can get caught up in that idea of like, oh, but if I know this next thing, if I learn this next thing, I'm closer to God. And you're like, well, I don't think that's it. And I love this idea of practicing the way, because it's taking us further into knowing God. And growing up in church, I can't tell you personally, and also being a worship director, I can't tell you how many sermons I've heard in my lifetime. It's probably in the many thousands, right? Thousands and thousands, and they were great. All my previous pastors watching right now, great sermons. Love you guys. Doing a great job. And I realize the irony of what I'm about to say, that I'm about to preach a sermon. But it's not lost on me. But I don't necessarily think that another sermon by itself is what we need, right? I don't think it's the thing that's going to lead us to transformation. Not the only thing. And I think a lot of people in the church, in the American church, have replaced practicing the way of Jesus with going to church, right? Like, we go to church, and if I go to church and, you know, I can miss like the first two, maybe first one and a half songs, but at least if I'm there for the sermon, well, I'm good. That was good. That was fine. I see you. I'm just kidding. I'm up here. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, like, we have this idea that, oh, well, then we're good. Well, church, I don't want to just be good. I don't want us to be just good, to punch our ticket and just be happy with that, right? I don't know about you, but I want to be transformed. And I want us to be transformed together. And I want us to become the people that God has created us to be together. And so that's what this idea of practicing the way is. And in his book, Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer, pastor of Bridgetown Church down in Portland, awesome pastor and writer. Check him out if you haven't heard of him. But he wrote this book. And he says this: transformation is possible if we are willing to arrange our lives around the practices, rhythms, and truths that Jesus himself did, which will open our lives to God's power to change. Said another way, we can be transformed if we are willing to apprentice ourselves to Jesus. I think that's great, right? The idea of apprenticing ourselves to Jesus is very, very different than the idea of going to church. And he actually shared this crazy statistic that in America right now, about, I think it was 63% of Americans identify as Christians. Okay, that's a lot of America. That sounds kind of good, right? Like, I'm like, oh, cool. 60, we're doing pretty good. That's kind of a D. right? I don't know. I guess that's not good, but that's not very good. We're not failing yet. But then he asked the second question, and the second question was, how many of you people who answered the 63% practice these certain discipleship things, these tools, these ways that Jesus gave us? Any guesses? Any guesses what that percentage was? 20. I hear 20. I hear 34. I saw 5 right here. Yep, that's a realist right there. I see you. I see you, Ralph. 4%. 4% of those Christians, of the 63 who identified, said that they did these practices. Ooh, okay, that hurts, right? That hurts, because at Pine Lake Covenant, we say that we want to find and follow Jesus together. If you haven't heard that, you're going to hear that a lot. We say that a lot because that's what we want to do. But practicing the way of Jesus, like, that's how we do that, right, church? We pray, we read scripture, we do these things together. And essentially, Pastor Austin, he shared this last week, practicing the way is this: being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. It sounds simple, and yet 4%, right? 4% are actually doing that. So as I said, I'm excited to preach a sermon right now after I told you you don't need another sermon. Way to go. I set myself up for success there. But I'm nothing if I'm not honest. I'm honest to a fault. My wife is laughing because she knows that I'm way too honest sometimes. But that's the truth, right? My hope in this series is that this will be less about hearing sermons together, less about going to church together, and more about becoming the people God has created us to be together, being transformed. Should I just end there? Should I probably just call it good? No, I'm just kidding. We'll keep going. Okay. So if you have your Bible, could you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? We'll put it up on the screen. I'm going to read this for us. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? So Lord, we ask this morning, God, that you would show us more of what it looks like to be with you, become like you, and be transformed, God, by the renewing of our minds in your word, in scripture. Lord, would you just use these words I have to say, God, that you have put on my heart, Lord, to lead us more in that direction as a church. In your name we pray. Amen. So, this morning, we are going to be talking about practicing the way of Scripture, right? And now, like I said, I'm going to be honest, and reading the Bible for me was actually really hard growing up, okay? Because, look closely, look up here, you are looking at the product of 21 years of private Christian education. I know, I'm still alive, I made it. No, I actually love my Christian schools. I loved them. And my mom taught at the Christian school. You want to hear some great stories, I'll tell you. But part of having a Bible class every day kind of turned this book into a textbook, right, for me. Like when you go to Bible class and they're like, okay, let's open to this and we're going to talk about the history and we're going to talk about the culture. And those aren't bad things. When you do that from like a little kid until you're like 25, like this is a textbook. And when I went home, I didn't want to read my math book. I didn't want to read my English book, and I didn't want to read my Bible. Right. And the other thing that I think gave me trouble was that I've talked about this. I went to a fundamentalist Christian church, and you know, if I had any questions about what this thing said, if I was a little worried about a section of it, if I didn't understand, they were just like, well, you just don't have enough faith and you're probably going to hell. And I was like, whoa, okay. You learn from a young age not to ask questions when that's the answer, right? When that's the answer, that's not a great answer to ask questions to. And so reading my Bible was either like a chore for me, or it was like passing a class, or it was trying to not go to hell. So those weren't great options. Like, if you want your kids not to read the Bible, do that. Do exactly that. Tell them they're going to hell if they don't read it, or, you know, make it a textbook. But the thing that actually caused me to fall in love with Scripture again was when I went to seminary. And it was the first time in my life, and I was like 27, but it was the first time in my life that I actually got to ask those questions of the Bible, that I got to sit with Scripture, and that somebody didn't tell me, oh, don't ask those questions or you're going to hell. I'm like, ooh, this feels good. This feels good to ask these questions about the Bible, to have doubts, to wrestle with those. And if you've ever read the Psalms, like, that's exactly what David does with God, right? Like, we are meant to do that. That's not a problem, to wrestle with God like Jacob. These aren't problems. And one thing I learned that I love about the Bible is that every scripture is contextual. And we believe that Scripture is God-breathed, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it was written in a context, right? It's written by a person inspired by the Holy Spirit, or group of people, to another person or another group of people. And they are in that context. And let me tell you, unless you were born in Thessaloniki 2,000 years ago, you don't know exactly what Thessalonians means. And you won't ever. Like, that's okay, right? And This book has been translated into from Greek into Latin into English, and 4,000 years later, we have this incredible witness to the faithfulness of God that's at our fingertips. And I think, again, like, growing up as Americans, we have this, this is just go buy one, right? You can go buy one in the store. Everybody has one. There's one in the hotel thing you can open, right? It's not special to us. But let me tell you right now, people around the world have packed their belongings in coffins and gone to other countries and died to give this to people. And we just, like, have to sit with that to go, whoa, holy cow. And I think that makes it tough. That's a barrier for us, right, as Americans, that this is actually incredibly special. This is a miracle. And one of the, actually, the coolest stories I learned in seminary, let me be Professor Kyle for one second, Austin, I'm sorry, is it, the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, right? So picture this, right? Christians, they've been actively persecuted for like almost 300 years, right? Jesus dies, and they're just being like thrown in lions' dens, burned, maimed, just terrible, terrible things, all for the name of Jesus. And then Constantine sees this vision. You can go check it out. You don't, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but Constantine basically says, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus and Christianity, and calls all these Christians together for this council. And you, can you just imagine what people would have looked like? Like, they'd be missing arms and eyes. They would have seen, like, their family members killed. Like, these were some tough people. Like, they had gone through some things for this and for God. And what they discovered at this council, these churches being separated for 300 years, no contacts, many of them, very little contact, is that they had been worshiping and memorizing and reading the exact same set of books and scriptures. And that is so, so cool to me, because the miracle of scripture is not that don't ask any questions, you're going to hell, right? It's not that God came down out of the sky and wrote this thing with his hand. That's not what this is. The miracle is that the Holy Spirit and the living Christ has continued and spoken to his church for thousands of years through God's word, since it was first written, as it continues to do today. Amen? God's word is going to continue to speak to us. And for me, learning this opened my heart back up to the Bible. It's not a textbook. It's a place where I encounter the Holy Spirit and the living Jesus in new ways all the time. So if the Bible isn't about getting it right or about proving something to ourselves or the world, but actually encountering Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what does that look like? What does it look like to practice the way with Scripture? Well, in John 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life is the light of all mankind. Well, this is awesome. You only find this in John, right? There's four Gospels. Some of them have overlapping stories, but you find this one particular passage in John. And what I love about this is it presents to us that Jesus and the Word of God are synonymous, right? Jesus is the living Word. Scripture is called the living Word of God because Jesus is eternally the Word. And so Scripture is the source of life, and we can't find life apart from it. It's the source of life. And like I said, I think there's this attitude in the church, this church right now, not this church, I hope not, it's Covenanters, I hope not, but in the church writ large right now, that there's another book or another podcast, right? Or a better sermon. Like, somebody's going to give a better sermon than me today. Guaranteed. Like, I think I'm going to do a good job. I'm doing pretty good up here, I hope. But there's a better sermon out there, right? There's better preachers. And, like, I feel like constantly Christians are out there trying to find that next best thing. And those aren't bad things. But they're meant to be supplements, supplementing our faith. They're not the source of life. And God might speak to you. He might speak to you through another book, another sermon, but he does not live in those pages like this. They're not meant to sustain us, those things. So the question is this: are we living by the source, the Word of God, or are we living by the supplements, right? What are we feeding off of? The source or the supplements? And I think of, as I saw this actually, Austin wrote this little thing, and I was like, oh, that's good, I'm going to take that. Thanks, Austin. But it immediately made me think of my daughters, and they're so precious, they're so cute. But we do dinner time, and after dinner, you know, my wife says, little birds, and they run up, and they go, and she puts vitamins in their mouth. And it's super cute, and I don't know where it came from, but you know, parents, you don't do those weird things. This is one of our weird things. I'm letting you in right now. You can see a weird Harmon thing. But they love it. We love it. And, but you know, like, what if we didn't have the meal? All we did was those vitamins, right? I mean, they'd be like little birding all over the house, like give me more, right? But how bad of a parent would I be if I didn't give them their food? They wouldn't be healthy. They wouldn't grow. They wouldn't become the people that they were created to be. And that's the same with us and the Word of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to read like a book of the Bible every day. Like, I know there's those people, right, that just like, I get up, I read my Bible for 2.5 hours, and then I go and build a farm. I'm like, that's cool, man. I can't do that. I'm not asking us to do that. But so let's not turn this into something legalistic like I grew up with. But I do believe that as a church, again, American, hopefully not here, we become complacent with reading our Bibles, right? Like, we went from either like, oh, you're reading the Bible, so therefore you're godly, and now we're at this place of like, oh, you don't actually have to read the Bible to be a good Christian. And what does that even mean? To practice the way of Jesus. And again, we're talking about practicing the way. And so we have to start with the source. We have to be in the Word. And I'm really glad Jessica's here this morning, because as covenanters, we even have this little saying, right? Jessica, can you say it in Swedish? I'm not going to try to say that. But what it is where is it written, right? We know this. And as many of you know, both Pastor Becca and I, we were ordained this past summer in the Covenant Church. And it was awesome. Thank you. Got a whoop, Kimmy. And we had to pass a ton of covenant classes, and where is it written? It's everywhere in covenant history, theology, missiology. And we don't have a ton of affirmations as a denomination, right? Like, there's some, a church I used to work at, their denomination affirmations is like literally bigger than the Bible. Like, you have to agree to all of this. We have six as the covenant, as the ECC. But that very first one, it is the centrality of the Word of God. Because we ask ourselves and we ask each other, great, where is it written? Let's go to the Word and start there. We have to start with the source. And in order to practice the way of Jesus, we also need to understand how Jesus surrounded himself with Scripture, right? If we go to the source, we ask, where is it written? You look at the Gospels. Jesus used Scripture in a myriad of ways, right? He's seen teaching Scripture at the temple. In Luke 2, he memorized, learned Scripture, as young Jewish men did at that time. He taught from Scripture. He also quotes Scripture, like, throughout the Bible and back to even the devil, right? When he's tempted in Luke 13, he responds and resists temptation and rebukes people through Scripture. In the Gospels, Jesus, he speaks, like, all four Gospels 1,800 or so times. 1,800 times. And he either alludes to or quotes Scripture directly 180 times. So 10% of the things Jesus says in the Gospels are Scripture. I don't know about you. I talk a lot. I don't think I'm anywhere close to 10% of saying things in Scripture. But yeah. So like, if we want to practice the way of Jesus, we have to marinate ourselves in Scripture. That's the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of something, when we respond. So again, how do we do this, Pastor Kyle? I can't memorize as much Scripture as Jesus. Jesus is the Word, right? He already knew the Scripture, I'm pretty sure. But, and I'm also saying, like, don't go ahead and quote Scripture at authorities. That's probably not going to go over well. Like, if you get pulled over by the cops and you're like, get behind me, Satan. No. I'm going to say right now, that's not going to work out well for you. You got pulled over because you were speeding. Let's be real. But So I'm not saying it's how we read Scripture, right? It's not one way to read Scripture, but that we read Scripture. That, just like with prayer, we said the same thing last week. It's not how we pray, it's that we pray. It's the practice. The practice is what changes us. So this week I want to encourage you to read from the source. And this can happen in whatever way feels most natural to you. Like I said, I'm a person with ADHD, and like sitting down and reading, oh, it's like such a chore for me. Seminary was so hard because every book was like 1,000 pages of theology, and they don't make audiobooks for that stuff. I'm like, help a brother out. But they do make audiobooks for the Bible. And so I will tell you, the Bible app is my best friend. I love getting on there on my morning walk or run or whatever and just listening and sitting in scripture. And so whatever way feels natural to you, maybe you're a big reader, go for it, read it. Some people meditate on a particular passage. You could memorize, right? Like when I was a kid, we did sword drills. Anybody do sword drills when you were a kid? Come on. Where am I Christian? Yes, let's go. Yes, David, I see you. I see that hand. No, but seriously, like, whatever way, like, you meet the Holy Spirit, you meet Jesus in Scripture, that's why I want to encourage you to do that. I actually when I was in high school, I used to tape scriptures. Like, I'd go and I'd pray and I'd tape scriptures on my steering wheel. And I'd put them on the steering wheel and I'd be like, okay, well, I don't know what that means, but like, I just put one on. And I can't tell you how many times and Tim's looking at me like, don't do this in distracted drive. I know what you're thinking, Tim. I wouldn't look at it while I was driving. But when I got into my car, I can't tell you how many times that was the exact scripture I needed. There was some crazy thing that happened, right? And it was the exact thing that I needed to see right then. And sometimes, I was talking to my dad about this yesterday, and I love talking to my dad, and he said, you know, there's scriptures that we read one time, and it doesn't make any sense to us. And then we read it 2 times, and it still makes no sense. And 1,000 times, and it still makes no sense. And then something happens in your life where that scripture finally reaches your heart, right? It goes that, like, 10 inches from your head to your heart, and you're like, oh, I know what that means, and I understand that. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me through that, right? And I think that's how it is. It's the practice. It's that we practice reading scripture. So I want you to encourage you to do this. And don't do this alone. Scripture, we are meant to read scripture together, right? So share this process with your small group, your spouse, with a friend, with someone. We're not meant to do this alone. We're meant to do this together. So one more story from seminary, and I want to shout out Dr. Nienhaus. Dr. Nienhaus is awesome. If you went to SPU, you probably took his New Testament class. If you didn't, it's okay. He's awesome. But he had this story about like how biblical scholars came up with all of these different tools of like studying the Bible. And he said that you can picture biblical study as like this mountain. It's this mountain. And at the very beginning, there's these little groups of people just reading and studying scripture and listening to the Holy Spirit together. And then like a little further up the mountain, people started to do like organized Bible studies. And then a little further up, people started to do like historical critical analysis where they're like, what's the history? What's criticized this? What's the cult? And then you get the cultural comparison. And then you got to the language and the linguistics. And like, people are just, wow, this is amazing, right? The knowledge is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then at the top right up here, you get the postmodernists who are just like, let's just rip the whole thing apart. There's not even words. Words don't even exist. And people are just like, let's deconstruct everything until it doesn't make sense, right? And then like, you get to the very top of all that knowledge, and there's just a group of people sitting, reading scripture, listening to the Holy Spirit together. And I love that idea, because after you've deconstructed everything and ruined the whole thing and whatever, there's still people at the top, together, reading scripture and listening to the word together, just at the base of the mountain. And I think that goes back to what I said. Knowing more about God is not knowing God. And so doing this practice together, this is how we know God. This is how we know God. And again, not all of that stuff is bad. We use some of that stuff in sermons. It's good stuff. But it's not the source. The word of God is the source. So again, are we living by the supplements, or are we living by the source? So this week, I want us to practice this together as a community. And as I was praying this week, and I was asking God for a scripture for our church for this week. And I just kept getting led back in all these different ways to Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23. And with everything going on in the world right now, I think, you know, with people experiencing hurricanes, and that's why our mission partner wasn't here today. She couldn't catch her flight due to a hurricane, you know. With wars, I mean, think of the Middle East and disunity in our own country with a really contentious, divisive election coming up. I think we need to go back to the source as a community. We need to go to Scripture. And I think this is a Scripture that God has for us right now. So like I said, you could memorize Psalm 23, meditate on it, go on a walk and listen to it like me, ADHDers. I see you, Rebecca. Love you. sorry to call you out like that. Austin too. She says it. They say it. They're both of them. We're in a team. We're in a group together. But whatever way you connect with the Holy Spirit, I want you to do that this week. And actually our high schoolers, they did this summer. And before they went to Unite, they read this same passage, Psalm 23. For 20 days, every day. And I love the way our students lead us. They lead us in worship all the time. They lead us in so many ways. But they basically did this practice and they had a daily reflection. But when they got to Unite, they had, you know, soaked in this Scripture, and then they used the Scripture at their retreat in Unite together to walk through part by part by part of Psalm 23. So in the back of the room, you could see Kimmy back there. She's got some handouts. You might have grabbed one on the way, but I want to invite you to take one of those with you, and I want us to sit in this Scripture and see what the source does with us as a community this week. So let's surround ourselves with Psalm 23. Again, we want to be fed by the source and not by the supplements as a church. We want to be people, covenanters, who say, where is it written? And go back to the living word of God, be spoken to by the Holy Spirit and by Jesus Christ. So to start day one of this practice, would you stand together with me? And we're gonna read this passage together. And I had to do it in the New King James because it just didn't sound right. It didn't sound right in the other ones. So let's read this together and then we'll continue in our worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So God, would you just use this verse this week, God? Use your word, God, your living word, to continue to speak to your church. God, show us exactly what you have for us, God, whether we have fear of that valley, Lord, whether we're walking in brightness. Lord, whatever circumstance we come to this with, God, we know, Lord, that you are in the midst of this in ways we can't even understand. But God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you lead us. God, I pray that we would find and follow you together as we start with your word. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.